We close tonight's program with the last installment of our series, Along for the Ride. For the past year, we've asked creative people to take us on a trip and introduce us to someone, some place, or something that stirred their passions. Our guest reporters have searched for mole, shopped for bargains, and investigated the comedy of a classroom clown. Tonight, writer John Ridley takes us for a final ride into the world of comic books. For John, Batman was an early influence. The Dark Knight of Justice inspired John's modern-day noir novels, with such titles as Everybody Smokes in Hell. Recently, Ridley came full circle when he created an animated series on the internet.
Undercover Brother. Disguised as mild-mannered Anton Jackson, he's smooth enough for the white people to trust him. But his undercover brother, he's secretly working for the Brotherhood in his never-ending battle against the Man.
Shoot! It's the Man!
We meet again, undercover brother. This time, for the last time.
Undercover Brother was born out of John Ridley's longtime love of comic books, a love that is considerable but complicated. Then again, John Ridley may disagree.
Even today, comic books remain my non-guilty pleasure. Unfortunately, consorting with others who share my passion is a tricky proposition, as your average comic book fan has no idea that Captain Kirk was played by an actor. Frankly, those cats scare the bejeebies out of me. But tonight, I'll face my fears, I'll navigate the inner sanctum of comic book devotees, I'll lift the veil on how far from reality some of these comic book junkies live. Fortunately, as I slink into superhero purgatory, my good friend Adam Fierro will have my back. While Adam digs comics, unlike most hardcore fans, he has the right mixture of love for and healthy irreverence of the genre. He's a guy I can actually have fun talking Mask Avengers with, as long as we're safely tucked away in my action figure packed office.
Who's that guy holding the shovel? That's a new one.
The guy holding the shovel? That's not a shovel. That's Starman, and that's his star rod. That's his cosmic rod. It looks like a shovel, yeah, but it's the cosmic rod.
Is he a superhero?
He's a superhero. He's like the new breed of superheroes. They don't wear, like, costumes or uniforms or anything like that.
Now, what is his superpower?
He doesn't have powers. He's got the cosmic rod. And the cosmic rod is like this energy thing, and you can, like, zap people. You know what it is? It's the poor man's Green Lantern ring.
Really?
Adam's got a thing for Green Lantern, one of the leaders of the old guard superhero organization, the Justice League of America. Only, don't get him started on what comic book writers have chosen to do with the character closest to his heart. They've replaced the original Green Lantern, Hal Jordan, with the contemporary Green Lantern, some punk named Kyle Rayner. Now, while Kyle's got game, nobody's saying he doesn't. As far as Adam's concerned, he can still hardly measure up to the legendary protector of Space Sector 2814.
He's huge.
He was one of the founding members of the Justice League.
Right. And then he went crazy. He became all powerful. And then they appointed a new, sort of younger, punkier version named Kyle Rayner, who I'm not really particularly fond of.
They've all been taken over by younger, punkier versions of them. The Flash, if you don't know, he's dead. Green Arrow is dead. It's like the WB network has somehow co-opted the Justice League, and they're all like 20 years old. A lot of them, they can't even drive the Justice League meetings. Their moms drop them off. It's very sad.
Right. They don't know whether to fight crime or go to Melrose Place.
The Golden Apple on Melrose Avenue in Los Angeles is one of the most popular comic book stores in the city. I visit once a week, but never, never ever on a Wednesday night. Every Wednesday is when the week's new comic books hit the shelves, and every Wednesday night, comic book mavens gather like alkies at an AA meeting. Except medical experts have recognized a love of booze as being an actual disease. For me, Thursday morning is soon enough to get my new batch of comics, but tonight I head to the Golden Apple to mingle with the developmentally arrested.
You know, Rogue can take anyone's power, Storm can control the weather, and Jean, you know, when she was Phoenix, for God's sake, she had stars.
And real quick, I find myself getting sucked into the middle of loud debates on important issues of our times, like who's hotter, Wonder Woman or Elektra Assassin? Elektra Assassin, by the way. And why doesn't Aquaman, the king of the seven seas, get any props?
This guy, if you can live in the depths of the sea, you should be super,
super strong,
dense, super dense,
strength,
You should be regular able to see bullets. Pitch black. Can't they bounce off of you? Saying, so you utilize this.
Not only that, then you also deal with the fact that this guy's a monarch. He rules like 90% of the world.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how they play him.
Okay, 75.
75% of the world. They've never explored why he doesn't take over the other 25%.
Ooh, I mean, why
doesn't he?
Well,
he has all the power to do it. Yeah, but what makes him that?
Yeah. Why limit yourself to being a hero when you're royalty?
While I was at the Apple, the Apple's what they call the Golden Apple, I ran into film director John Singleton of Boys in the Hood and Shaft fame. Turns out, John is a longtime comic book collector, and he actually chooses to go to the Apple on Wednesday nights. This cat's brave. But comic books seem to feed John's creative fire. He used a recent brouhaha among members of the Justice League of America as an example of why, for him, comic books can be so consuming and even grounding.
The great thing is that Batman, he made contingency plans to what would happen if the Justice League got out of order.
Right.
And so he found out all of their weaknesses, and he had the information somewhere where he could call upon it if they got out of order, and a villain got a hold of their weaknesses and practically almost destroyed them all.
So everybody's blaming Batman.
They oust Batman from the team.
But it's Batman's drama, man. It's like, the reality is Batman's got to be prepared for something like that.
True.
Nobody else was ready for anything.
In anything, you have to have a contingency plan.
You've always got to have a contingency plan. You know, whether you're a guy wearing tights and a cape or you work in a donut factory, comic books offer relevant life lessons. The fact is, for all the fantasy elements in comic books, there's a level of reality in the world of superheroes that reflects our own. For example, the ranks of superheroes are still dominated by middle-aged white guys. A couple of them, multimillionaires. And even the hardcore comic fans at the Apple couldn't understand why, in a universe where people are faster than speeding bullets, an old boys club still rules the world?
Would it really have killed the comic book industry if Kyle Rayner's last name would have been Kyle Ramirez?
Let's set it off. Here's my big thing with Marvel, with the exception of the X-Men. Learn how to write ethnic characters, not as an ethnicity first. Just write a good character,
who just happens to be
black or Latino. Tony Stark could very easily be what? Cuban? Why not? Why not? Doesn't change his accent, doesn't change his educational background, doesn't change anything. Look at how they illustrate the ethnic characters. What the Living Lightning? They draw him as a squiggly line, dude. How come he can't get the cool silver skin or something?
No, because he's
squiggly line.
He's brown. We can't have him.
Wow. Whoa. Oh. I will never spend another Wednesday night at the Apple. Can you believe that? Those people, they shouldn't be buying comic books. They should be buying a clue. I will tell you this. It was real nice to get back to the safety of my office with my friend Adam.
I think one of the things that has contributed to the emergence of superheroes is the lack of therapy. So that if any of them got into some serious psychoanalysis, I think, for instance, Batman,
yes,
if he was able to work through those problems he had
as a kid,
adjusting to the loss of his parents, he may not have pursued the life of crime fighting.
Do you know what the problem is, too? Justice League Health Plan does not cover therapy.
It's not covered.
Does it? The weird thing is, it will cover chiropractics. You could go in and get your back adjusted, but you can't get your mind adjusted. Now, that's not right.
Right.
Because look at, all of them have problems. Look at that. Batman, Bruce Wayne, like you said, parents killed right in front of him. Nutcase. Clark Kent, Superman, sole survivor of a planet that exploded. What kind of a guilt trip is that?
Right.
That Delaney. Wonder Woman? No problems, really. She's just a hot-looking babe.
Right.
No. I'm not like most comic book fans. In the comfort of my office, I spend an hour a day, maybe two and a half, not more than three, thinking about comic book babes and dudes. And besides, it's all part of my crap. It's part of the magic. It's my art. It's my business. I don't have to justify anything to anybody, especially not you, sitting there listening to radio, which is like three generations of technology ago. A lot of people like to sit on the internet now. Yeah. There's a reason the comic trade was once called Seduction of the Innocent. Ain't it great?
John Ridley taking us along for the ride to the alternate universe of comic books at the Golden Apple Shop in Los Angeles.
Thank you.
To see John's animated superhero, Undercover Brother, and to visit other universes John inhabits, check out our website at npr.org. Along for the Ride is produced by Melissa Giroux and edited by Susan Davis. Marcus Rosenbaum is the executive editor of the series. And I'm Lisa Simeone. Good evening from Weekend All Things Considered and NPR News.